I haven't got a Bible with me. I haven't got the reading, so. Ola, just come up and we'll pray for you. Just come up and we'll pray for you and we'll let you read. Let's pray for you.
Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ola.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the man of God that he is and the example that he is to so many of us here at Oakley. Lord, we just pray that you come upon him by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning and just anoint his lips to bring what you would have him bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless.
Hello? Can you hear me? Good morning, everyone. I sat there and my legs were shaking. So one of two things. Is it cold? Is it the Holy Spirit? A bit of both? Help me out. Is it cold? Right, okay. It is cold. Okay. That's another way of looking at it. But I just really want to give God all the glory for the awesome testimonies this morning. No testimony is small. So just like Colin says, starting the car, it makes a world of difference. You need to get somewhere. You need to get something done. And God steps in. Someone might look and think, what's the big deal? You can easily call AA, yes, but God stepped in. And we give him all the glory. Nicola's testimony is simply amazing, utterly amazing. And it was last week I was speaking to my dad. And he said, I remember when you were growing up, you used to write from right to left. How does that work? Clearly, I wasn't doing well, was I? Every other child was writing from left to right. But I was writing from right to left. And he said, I used to think, would he ever be able to read and write? That was the story of my life. But the one who changes all things stepped in and changed everything. And as a parent, I could relate with the concern that my dad had watching your child and saying he couldn't read properly, he couldn't write. But this morning, I want to thank God and celebrate the grace of God. Because he has done such a work of transformation that, so when you see me dance, that's one of the reasons why I dance. I just cannot but give God the glory for all that he's done for me. And this morning, there's a song or chorus or a hymn that comes to mind. How wonderful. How glorious will my soul shall ever be. How wonderful, how glorious is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love before me. I can see His glory, see His glory, see His glory come down. I can see His glory, see His glory, see His glory come down. See His glory come down. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you afresh this morning. Do that which only you can do and take the glory in advance. Job chapter 14, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. The place of prayer can be described like a set of traffic lights. You've got the red, the amber, and the green. Or the other way around, the green, the amber, and the red. So sometimes you pray, yes, it's all happening. God has answered your prayer. Sometimes it's amber, you're waiting in that place. And then, or the amber is you're waiting, and then red is a no. Wait, I will wait till my change comes. When Jesus was leaving, he said to the disciples, wait, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. What does wait mean? To stand by, to hold back, to mark time. And if we also look at Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139, verse 16 from the NTL. Can we just look at this scripture carefully, please? You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Think on this. Before I was born, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The God we serve, He knows the ins and outs. He knows your yesterday, He knows your today, and He knows your tomorrow. But the only issue is this: we don't bother to wait for Him to unfold His plan. The natural man, the tendency is to run ahead of God or to lag behind. But where God wants us is a place where we keep in step with His Holy Spirit. And if you look at the life of David, the scripture says he would always inquire of the Lord. He was a skillful warrior. He'd gone to many battles, but he would say, Lord, what do I do in this situation? Shall I? Oh, so one time God said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Another time he said, wait by the mulberry tree. But guess what I would have done? Based on track record, the last time God said, pursue, overtake, and recover. So another battle comes along. What do? I just run. Because I've seen God do it before. But this scripture says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. But who is this God? Why should I entrust my life to Him? If we look at the book of, can we go to the next scripture, please? In Numbers. Numbers 23, verse 19. He says, God is not a man. So before you go into the place of prayer, he said, he that comes to God must believe that he is. First, remember, you are not praying to man, because man is fickle. Man can change his mind. Man can die. Man can disappoint. Man may be capable one day, but the next day he might become incapable. So if you were a friend to Tony Blair, used to walk the corridors of power and all of that, but he's no longer the prime minister. One time he was the prime minister. But God is not man. He says, God is not man that he should lie. So man is prone to lie. Either he would say, there are other ways of describing it, become economical with the truth. He says, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? The certain things that God has said to us, that each time we look at it, it just is just, how is God going to make this possible? How is God ever going to solve this problem? But remember that God is not man. He is not man. Tony, you remember the time with your business when the major contractors that you worked with, and it was like, oh, what do I do? Now, are you not inundated with work? Because God is not man. Remember that. God is not man. Our times, all that we ever desire is in God. Before you were born, he knew you. In fact, I see him as the script writer. Now, the onus is on us to be totally dependent on him. There's nothing wrong in us when we make mistakes, but going back to him. When we first come to know the Lord, the things that we think, I need to get this done, and we go ahead and do it. Simple things like, oh, I've got these two or three job offers. Do we ever go back to God and say, Lord, which particular one would you like me to take up? You have a health challenge. Before you actually go and see the consultant or the GP, put it into prayer, commit it to God in prayer. Lord, the man or the woman that you've ordained to use, Lord, put your counsel in their mouth. Because you know that some people, the reason why they've either died or become very ill is because they got the wrong diagnosis. But when you commit it to God, what may seem as a disappointment, so the 10 minutes where the car didn't start, it could have been that God was just prevented an accident. But his ways are past finding out. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Each individual has a waiting period. Your waiting period is different to mine. So if you look at the story of Jesus, when he was age 12, his father took him to the temple. And we didn't hear anything of him until he turned 30. So 18 years was that period where we didn't hear of him. But God was doing something in him. If you look at the life of Joseph, for 12 years or 13 years, he was just like struggling, but he had a dream. He had several dreams. God had shown him what he was going to be doing. Look at the life of Moses. He was called to be a savior. He knew he had been called to be a savior. But guess what? Along the way, he decided to run ahead of God. And then another 40 years where he had to wait. The waiting period, it can be frustrating, it can be upsetting, but God has a plan. And if you skip a process, there is a way, just like the sat-nav, it would find a way of recalibrating and taking you back to that, to via another route, but to still get you to where you're going. Wait on the Lord. We live in a world where everything is instant. You want to watch a particular film, it's streamed live. There's so many things, instant coffee, instant this, instant that. But when it comes to God, God is totally different. Sometimes God wants to do a work in us so that we can be a blessing to others. And when he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, one of the many fruits of is patience. Imagine what my parents went through with me, trying to figure out, would he be able to read? Would he be? But God was doing something. So whatever the challenge is with you, with family, with children, trust God that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Your life is designed to tell a story. Your life is designed to tell a story. And every time you sort of look and think, Lord, I should have attained this. This should have happened in my life. It should take you back to the place of prayer. Lord, help me to comprehend. Lord, what is it that you're doing? Help me to cooperate with you. Because the worst thing that can happen is go through life and never really fulfill the purpose for which God called you. Before we came to this church, we waited in the place of prayer for 5 months. We could have run ahead of God. Well, it's only a church. Let's just go online, look for a few churches, go here and there, and then decide. God is interested in the small things and in the big things. And whatever challenge you're going through or you have gone through is never for you. There will be people that only you would be able to minister to them from the place of your pain or disappointment or setback. And God is still in that business. It's a season of character formation. Sometimes it can come in the form of failure. It can come in the form of hardship. It can come in the form of disappointment, relationship breakdown, challenges in the workplace. Most times we miss out on God's best because we either get frustrated in the place of waiting, we want to have our way, or we just bow to peer pressure. But God wants to do something. No matter where you are at, God wants to do something in you. But the question is, would you cooperate with him? So how do I wait on God? The best place to start is in the place of God's Word. Make time out to study God's Word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night." Spend time in the Word. Everyone in this room, in this hall, has the power to meditate. What is meditation? It's just pondering over a particular issue, isn't it? Now, when we have, and when we're faced with a situation, and we're thinking of the worst outcome, we're meditating. That situation, that thought that wakes you up in the middle of the night and you break out with cold sweat, that's meditation. But if you would spend that same time and invest that same energy in God's Word, I've been going back and saying to myself, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Regardless of what I'm faced with now, God cannot lie. If God has said it, he will keep to his word. I might not understand how, but God is not a man that he should lie. He abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. When you've read the word, the next place is the place of prayer. Prayer shows our dependence. Sometimes it's just a question of sitting down, just saying amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For some people, it's 5 minutes. For some people, it's 10 minutes. For some people, that 5 hours, 3 hours, an hour. But start from somewhere. You can never go wrong saying thank you to the Lord. Lord, this is the issue I'm confronted with. I come to you this morning and I ask you for help. At noonday, the enemy brings that thought to you. Lord, I bring the same issue before you because I know you are faithful. I don't know the way out, but I'm showing my dependence by coming to you. What type of prayer? So where there's a particular issue at hand, 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, is prayer of inquiry. David asked the question, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? He specifically asked the Lord. He didn't assume. He asked the question, Lord, how do I deal with this situation? You've been trying to minister to a family member to come to the place of salvation. Lord, what would you have me do? So sometimes the Lord might say to you, just show, and each time, just show an act of kindness. That's all I need you to do. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in them. Then when you pray, also praise God. Thank him. The scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God loves to hear us praise him. You can never go wrong praising God. Thank him for all he's done. The psalmist in Psalm 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 150 says, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. In fact, that issue of concern, begin to thank God for it. Lord, I don't know the way out, but I want to thank you that in this situation, you are making a way. Lord, I want to thank you that in this situation, you are making a way for me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I want to thank you that you are in control of this situation. And it's also a mark of maturity in Christ. Initially, when we come to the faith, the things that every moment we worry, but after a while you just say to yourself, how many things have you really worried about that at the end of it you look back and think, I just wasted all that time because it didn't manifest. Oh, if this bill doesn't get paid, see what would happen if this doesn't happen. But God comes through because God is faithful. Regardless of where you are now, today is an opportunity to reflect. Today is an opportunity to go to the script writer, the one who says that all of our times are recorded. Every moment even before it came to pass. Should that not give you comfort? For you to understand that whatever you're going through right now, God is aware of it. For you to understand that where you are right now, if you will cooperate with God and seek His face, He will get you to where you need to be. Who would have imagined, when you look at the story of Joseph in prison, how is God going to then come through for him? But God then allowed Pharaoh to have a dream. All the astrologers, the magicians, and all his counselors couldn't interpret the dream. And they had to come to the prison. The baker remembered, or the butler remembered, oh, there's a man who interpreted my dream in the prison. And they brought him out in a haste. And that the dreams he had back then, God fulfilled it. Did his brothers not come bowing to him? It took time, but God came through. This morning, God is calling you back to that place of trusting him again. God is calling you to that place of relying on the Holy Spirit. And in your journey, there might be things that God will just naturally get you to, that will drop off you. The anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, in that journey begins to drop off. You might notice that all of a sudden the particular programs that used to interest you on TV that no longer gets your attention, God wants you to use that time to seek him. You know, you say, oh, I haven't got time to pray. But then you look on your phone, you spent an hour, 2 hours. It was only a 5-minute call, but then you spent an hour, you spent 2 hours. But yet there's no time to pray. And it's not to make you feel guilty. It's for you to understand and to come to that place that you need the Holy Spirit. And he's that still small voice that will say to you, why don't you pick up your Bible? Why don't you pray? Why don't you end that phone call? And each time you obey that voice, your relationship with the Lord starts to grow. Start off with the issues that disturb you, that will keep you restless at night. Make a note of it and begin to consciously give thanks to God for it. Lord, this is the situation that I'm dealing with, but I know that you are not a man that you should lie. So I'm coming to thank you for this situation. I'm coming to thank you because I know that my times are in your hand. You are not a man that you should lie. You're too faithful to fail. Let your heart be at peace. God wants to do something. If only would allow him. Each one of us in this room, God has a plan. But would we choose to cooperate with him? I remember when I was trusting the Lord for a job. I went to this resource center to have my CV printed out. And on my way back, I stopped by the library. And opposite the library was another resource center to go and check the local newspaper. But it was the voice of the Lord. Lo and behold, there was a vacancy. And I applied. I had my book of stamps in my pocket. I did my covering letter, glory to God. Many years down the line, I'm still working. But it was the voice of the Lord. There were other offers. There were other temptations. Oh, you could get more money somewhere else. But is it the voice of the Lord? That relationship issue that you're trusting God for, God has something that He's doing. He's doing something in the background. Would you allow Him to complete that work? For some people, God will not get you into a relationship yet because He knows that you're not patient. So, if you get into that relationship, you're going to create more problems. So He wants to present you as a patient person, but would you allow Him to do that? God is not done with anyone yet in this room, if only would allow Him. All He's saying is, lift up your hands, and I will do the carrying. Would you wait on the Lord? Would you allow God to do what He wants to do? It's an invitation this morning to come back to that place of absolute trust. God is not putting, He's not saying, oh, you have to do X, Y, and Z. All He's saying is, wait on Me. Come to Me. Come and seek Me. Come and tell Me your fears. Tell Me your concerns. You might think it's over. You might think it's too late. See what the life of Joseph's father, as far as he was concerned, his son was dead. He was never going to see him again. But God worked it out. And he was surprised. He ended up seeing his son. I don't know that thing that you're trusting, that situation that you're trusting God to come through for you. God is still in the business of changing things. Remember that every moment of your life is God written in a book. But how would you get to know what's on each page unless you keep in close proximity with Him? There's a way that seems right to a man. It looks glamorous, but it's the way of destruction. And He says, I place before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. He set the exam. He's also giving you the answer to the question. So I'm inviting you to that waiting room this morning. Just like a woman who gets pregnant today doesn't expect to have a child tomorrow. There is a gestation period. The gestation period for a baby is different from that of an elephant. Depending on what God wants to do in and through you, the gestation, the waiting period will always be different. So don't beat yourself up trying to compare yourself with another person. Remember that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He has a unique plan for you. Everyone's fingerprint is different. So this morning I want to invite you to come back to that place of trusting God again, of waiting on God again, and trusting Him that what He has said concerning you, He's faithful to bring it to pass. And as you do that this morning, I believe that God will bless you. God will bring all your heart desires to pass. And above all, you will be a blessing to multitudes. That person in your workplace, that your neighbor, the family, friend, the sibling, that in and through your life, they will see something of Jesus that will bring them into the kingdom of God. Just before we take the final song, during the time of the pre-service prayer, there are a few words that came. The first one was a picture of the sunflower basking in the sun. It starts off under the soil, but it begins to bask in the glory of God when it comes up. The second one is, the Lord will deliver and still every storm. The third word is, someone is feeling in the ashes, but God is going to bring them out into the bloom. God wants to do something. Would we cooperate with him? And part of that is just waiting on him. Just waiting. It's never convenient, but waiting on him. As you wait, you will begin to see the glory of God. As you wait in his word, you will get to know more of God. As you wait in the place of prayer, God will begin to speak to you. And it doesn't have to be a loud voice. It might just be a thought that comes to your mind. It might be an advert on the TV. It might be a billboard that God will speak through you. It might just be someone will call you out of a randomly and say, give you a word. It might be a text from someone that you haven't spoken to in months. And that word comes through for you. So this morning, I want to invite you into the waiting room. Come and wait on the Lord. And let him renew your strength. The disappointments, the pain, the setbacks, the hardship. He's aware of everything. The way you've been mistreated, God sees everything. But God is still in the business of turning lives around. Shall we just rise on our feet this morning? As we take the final song.